So, Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you for this time we can just come together and just be good stewards over our finances, our time, and just souls for the kingdom. Let this be just edifying, and also wherever we speak, we know it's of the Lord because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us and that the gospel goes into all the land. We give you glory, honor, praise, and worship. Thank you and bless Yesi for his time here. And as he's just pouring out to others, let it be sown back into him. In Jesus' name pray, amen.
Right. Amen.
So, hello, welcome to the Blessed Room Report. Today we have Yesi Boris, right, with Money Principles. And he's actually going to be teaching us how to be a kingdom investor, but also a business person when it comes to being a man of God and a person of faith. So if you could introduce yourself, he's from Amsterdam, so he's gonna have a different perspective than us Americans. So feel free.
Thank you, Winston. Thank you for having me. So maybe let's start by introducing myself. I'm Jesse Borst. I'm 32 years old. I'm as a professional investor for my career. I'm a multi-asset investor. So what I do is that I invest for my clients, let's say globally, in the stock market, but also in real estate, in commodities, in bonds, corporate bonds, sovereign bonds. And what I also have is a YouTube channel where I teach people about personal finance and about investing. So how can they get started with investing? And I'm also a Christian, and I believe that God calls us to be a good steward of our finances. And I'm always happy to teach people about finances. How can they make good decisions, wise decisions? And more importantly, how can you create how can you be generous with your money and be a blessing to others without being, let's say, stuck in, let's say, lack, and that you are able to freely give. And for me, I'm always, when I talk to, I have a lot of wealthy clients, and if you see about how they manage their finances, there are also a lot of biblical principles in there, and you see that God thinks about resources and how we can reuse those resources for the kingdom. So I hopefully this conversation can be a blessing to your audience.
Oh, amen. I just like the perspective of being like a generous giver, and even like the Lord says in 1 Corinthians that we need to be like cheerful givers. So how have you viewed your relationship with the Lord when it comes to money and finances and like the gospel, right? Because when it comes to, I guess, like winning souls, right? The big thing is, hey, Jesus was raised from the dead. God is coming back to have like relationship with us. So how does like the gospel fit, not only like financially, but I guess because you're in more of a traditional, like, so I'm more of like entrepreneurial, and you're entering in with like Money Principles coming into the YouTube space, but you're in the marketplace. So how does like the gospel fit in the marketplace?
So first of all, I think that if you look at the kingdom, the currency of the kingdom is people. So it's all about how to empower people, how to bring talents to life, how to create life through the gospel in people's lives. But to do that, you need resources. And there are many resources in the kingdom. And one of them is finances. And I think God calls us to look at the resources that he gives and to make, let's say, good use of it. And if we make good use of it, we are way more effective in reaching, let's say, the people that God puts on our heart. And I think it's also a testimony to other people on how we as God's people manage our finances. And quite interestingly, if you look at let's say the millionaire population, mm-hmm. you see that most of them are religious and most of them are Christian. So there is a clear link between, let's say, how you think about God and what's role God has in your life and how that impacts your finances. Not only from a, let's say, blessing point of view, mm-hmm. so that God opens doors and gives you a position in the marketplace that you can be, let's say, where you have a positive influence, but it's also about how do you think about money and what beliefs do you have about money that can have a positive impact on your life.
Mm-hmm. I like your aspect of precision, because that was actually why I reached out to you, because I haven't been very precise when it comes to my own investing. So I wanted to, I guess, get your perspective on practical investing, but also, I guess, almost like spiritual, supernatural investing. If we look at Daniel or Joseph, people encountering the Holy Spirit through dreams, and so on and so forth, versus just, hey, this is fundamental analysis, it's just technical analysis, this is how to invest. So are you more on like the natural and practical side of investing, or more of the supernatural wisdom side?
That's a very good question. And I think that the answer is somewhere in between. Because if you read, let's say, the scripture, why do we read the Bible? It's also to get the knowledge, to understand how God speaks to us, but also there are so many principles that God has given us that we can use and that we can learn about and that we can use. So it's not only about, let's say the revelation that God gives us through the Holy Spirit, but it's also the wisdom that he imparted us through generations and through the Bible that we can use. So if I think about investing, it started, let's say, when I, let's say, first encountered investing was in my studies. So I have an educational background. I have a master's in finance. I have a CFA designation. And so I have, let's say, the formal education from an investor. But I have also, let's say, a relationship with the Lord. And that helps me to put all the pieces together, so to say. And when it comes, for instance, about I can learn a lot from, let's say, my colleagues about which investments to pick and what are the best investments at this point in time. And I also see that God puts me in the right direction. Okay, maybe you should talk to this and this person. And sometimes the ideas I get from the Lord himself that, hey, maybe you should invest in this. And then I pitch this to my investor colleagues. And then one thing led to another. We are in a very profitable investment. So I think it goes hand in hand. If we only follow our, let's say, a good feeling or the revelation, there is the trap that you make stupid decisions once in a while. And the problem with a stupid decision is it can cost you a lot, especially on your wealth building journey. So the thing is, you need to create a system that can help you to make, let's say, good decisions, rational decisions, but also gives you the room to listen to the Lord and act upon that. So it's not just I do this and then the Lord has to deal with it. Mm-hmm. No, it's about, let's say, having a heart that allows the Lord to be able to maneuver and to guide you in a sense. But for me, it's always word and spirit, meaning also knowledge, principles, wisdom, and revelation. So for me, it's always about having a balanced approach. And I also learned let's say, if I look back on how the Lord has spoken to me, it was almost never with, let's say, lightning and thunder. Mm-hmm. It was always, let's say, building on something that I was already working on. And if I think about investing, for me, investing is about planting seeds. And these seeds can grow over time into trees. So it's not a one, let's say, one idea, one, let's say, good thing that, let's say, makes you rich or makes you wealthy or whatever. It's not one thing. It's a journey. It's a process. And you need to have some rules in place and a system in place that can help you with that. And the same goes with anything else, like a marriage. Mm-hmm. It's not a one-day thing. Mm-hmm. It's a journey.
And would you have any recommendations for systems or rules that helped you out in life, or you're just like, I really like these for us?
Yeah, so the first, let's say the first thing that I think that people need to understand, there are like two things that you don't want to do. Let me start with that. There are two extremes, sort of say, people who don't invest and people who go all in on investing. The people who don't invest, I would encourage you to start investing and to start small. Start with something that you understand. Maybe invest in a business that you have, or maybe invest in a friend's business, or invest in the stock market, because maybe you understand, okay, businesses make profits. These profits will be shared with their shareholders via dividends or via capital appreciation. And that sort of, in that way, I can benefit from the growth of these companies. So make it very simple and understandable for yourself. Or if you understand, let's say, what your friend is doing, a business that he has, and you can participate in that, find a way to participate. If you don't participate, if you don't invest your money, the reality is it will be very difficult to reach long-term financial goals. For instance, going to retire, or saving for your kids' college tuition, or building wealth in general. Because why is investing so powerful is you use something called compound interest. And compound interest is exponential growth of your money. And for example, if you would invest $150 each month from the age 18 to the age 68, that's 50 years. If you do that, and you would do that in the stock market, and you get a return of 8%, you already have over $1 million. So just by consistently participating in something that grows over time, you will have, let's say, a very large result from a small seed. And the small seed is in this case $150. But if you do that consistently and you give it time, the seed will grow into a tree and will bear fruit. And I think that's something that people need to understand. It's about giving it the time, watering it, giving it the seed, and then it will grow over time. The other part is people who understand a bit of investing that go all in. They heard about, let's say, a nice investment from their friend who recently started day trading or had a fancy cryptocurrency investment. They go all in on that investment. Then the investment goes, either it's brilliant and they earn a lot of money, mm-hmm. or they lose a lot of money, but both are not good for you. Yeah. So if you lose your money, you get scared about investing, and you move to the first group who doesn't invest. And in the second, you get rich, you think, okay, hey, I made a very good decision. And then you try it again, and you try it again, and you try it again. And at one point, you probably will lose again, because the reality is that because you risk it all, you can also lose it all. And even if you win three times and you lose the fourth time, the end result is still the same. You don't have anything by the end. So I would also not encourage you to go all in on your investments. Always think about, okay, how can I reach a financial goal? By investing long term, by investing every month a little bit, so that you can let it grow and not that you have to do it now, and that you have the mindset of I want to get rich quick, because that's necessarily not a good thing.
So you're managing millions of dollars, right? And I'm assuming that your position is pretty well off. How do you not fall into, I guess, covetousness or greed or any of the youthful lusts that the Bible tells us to stay away from?
I think that's a very good question. And that's not only for a person in my position. I indeed manage billions.
Billions.
And sorry. Of course, let's say if you have, let's say, a large sum of money, it's all about the money. It's all about the money. But the reality is, if you are managing billions, it's a very big responsibility. So you're always and the only way you are allowed to manage that kind of money is that you are able to, let's say, manage that kind of money. So in my view, I don't. For me, I don't really care much about the money itself. Mm. I care more about, let's say, the people behind the money, and the families. And of course, billions are not generally not from one person, but there are pension funds, banks all behind that that manage the money for their clients. And that gives me also the understanding, and I feel that pressure, of course, that I want also to do well for them. And greed is something that is a byproduct of not being generous. I think let me give you an example. There are four things that you can do with money. You can spend it. You can save it, you can invest it, and you can give it away. And these four functions, these four things that you can do with money have a very different purpose. Spending you do for here and now to enjoy yourself, but also to pay the bills. You save for short-term financial goals. Maybe you want to go on a vacation and you save for that. You might want to have a buffer in case something happens. You invest for the long term. You invest to build wealth, to save for your college, for kids' college tuition, or for retirement. And you give your money not only because you want to help others, but it also helps you to separate from your money, and it helps you to keep control over your money. There's this famous saying: is that money is a good slave, but a horrible master. And that's so true, is that if you giving out of the equation and you only, let's say, save and invest for yourself, and it becomes a greedy thing. You save and invest for yourself and you spend it on yourself. It's all about you. But the moment you put giving into the equation, it gives a different dimension. It focuses not on you, no, it focuses on other people, and it helps you to separate from your money. So for me, generosity is a key tool to stay away from the trap of greed. And the next thing is that one thing that I've also learned, and that's, of course, in the investment world, it's all about money. And also you see that if you look at in history, there have many been, let's say, investors. They always chased more and more and more. And what you, if you learn from, let's say, from that history, is that that doesn't always end well. So maybe a very good example, I love the story, but it has a bit of a nasty flavor to it, but I think it's a good one. One of my, let's say, also he was also called Jesse, but Jesse Livermore. He lived in 1877, and he became famous as a legendary trader. Before the age of 30, he already made $100 million. He was very good at his profession. He became famous with going short the stock market, so betting against the stock market. So if it goes down, he would earn a lot of money. He also became famous for technical analysis, and he was very good at his job. At one point, on a certain day in 1929, when there was a what we call Black Monday, is one of the most famous days in history in the stock market, the market went down and many people lost their money. Why? Because they used debt to invest. So one thing that everybody should, don't use debt to invest. It's generally a bad recipe, especially if you use debt not to buy real estate, but you buy it for stocks. It's generally a bad recipe, but many people lost their money. And on that day, Jesse came home from work and he went to his family, and his family was very worried. What happened to Jesse? Is he going well? Did he lost everything? Everybody was worried. And Jesse came home and he was like, why is everybody worried? And he told his family that he made over $1 billion that trading day. So he did something that many investors would only dream about. He bet against the stock market. So he went short the stock market in one of the worst days of the stock market. And he became very rich. And rich beyond anything imaginable in that time. And what happened was that after a few years, he lost it all and eventually committed suicide. So what happened with Jesse, he was very successful financially, but he wanted to have more. And eventually risked it all, bet bigger, and eventually lost even his life. So the clue of this story is that you need to define also when you have enough. And knowing when you have enough, and I think it's much easier to answer that question if you have the Lord on your side, is that it's not about the money. It's about what you can do with the money and how you can be a blessing to others. So for me, wealth is having enough to help others. And I think that's something that's very sometimes difficult to understand. And especially if you see things moving in your direction, things are going well, you think, oh, everything that I will touch will turn into gold. But the reality is that money can become an idol, and you need to be aware of that. And giving is a perfect way to do that.
Wow, that is powerful. That is such a, it's a sobering story, but it's a really good one too. It reminds me, I was reading Luke 16 this morning, and it's the chapter on Lazarus and Abraham. I remember, so Lazarus went to heaven and then the rich man went to hell. And so he was received in Abraham's bosom. And in it, he says like, hey, can I just go back and tell my brothers and my family about hell? And they said, they wouldn't hear the prophets. They're not going to hear you either. So that chapter really juxtaposes wealth pretty interestingly, because it begins with the like unjust steward or like the slothful steward over money. So his his lord came back and he was like, I heard you've been a lazy steward. You're going to lose your position. And it says that he repented and he went to everyone who owed his lord money and he started getting the debts. And then he called him a wise steward. So you start off of, hey, whatever you do in the least of these, you're going to do more when you get like more responsibility. But then it transitions from being wealthy to like the pitfalls of wealth. Not the Lord wants us to be prosperous and fruitful. The love of money is the root of all evil, not money itself. But it shows that, hey, like you said, if you're going to be wealthy, you need to be generous, just like Lazarus being poor and this rich man not helping him at all. And then Lazarus going to heaven and then the rich man going to hell.
Indeed. Yeah, I think that's a very it's a very interesting story. There's so many elements in there, and maybe one of the well-quoted verses in the Bible is that it's very difficult, that it's more difficult for a rich man to go to heaven than go through the eye of the needle. But I think that if you look at that verse and you drill down a bit, and the eye of a needle is the small, let's say, a gate in the city wall, where the camels would, if they wanted to go through that small gate, they needed to get on their knees. And I think that's the key. If a rich man wants to go to heaven, he needs to get on his knees, and that's something that's people need to realize. It's that wealth is not something that, let's say, puts you in a higher position, but it should be as a service to others. So it should be on your knees for the Lord, but also on your knees for others, because it's a big responsibility and you need to take that seriously. It's not about just the fun things. Everybody wants to be rich, but nobody wants the responsibility that comes with it. So I think it's for me, it helps that if you look through the Bible and you look how, for instance, Daniel, Joseph, Abraham, they were all wealthy people, by the way, how they, let's say, use their possessions in service to the kingdom. And if we can have that mindset on what we can do with our money and how that can help the kingdom grow, I think that can be such a revelation and can be such a powerful thing that we can use for the good. Yeah.
Wow, that was great. I do want to pick up on your analogy of the knees and bowing down because you come from a different cultural background than us. So the Bible is originally in Hebrew and Aramaic. It gets translated to Greek and then to English, right? So Americans will read the Bible and it's kind of very unwise and a little arrogant, strictly in English. So they think it's a literal needle in which that you sew. But I went to a church where they taught it's the smaller door in the gate, right? And so in a leadership program, they were teaching on how people read the Bible differently by their cultural context. So one good story that they used as an example was the prodigal son story of why did he befall issues? So there's three different elements in the story where he befell issues. It says that, well, from the class I took, they said Americans will say he wasted his money because he was young and youthful with all his lusts. But in the second part, before he comes to the end of himself, it says that the land befell famine. So they said when Russian Christians read that story, they said the issues came from the famine coming. And then they were just saying how it's so different. So do you encounter that since you are European, that you have different perspective when it comes to the gospel?
It's difficult to assess for me whether I have a different perspective, but What I can say is that if you look at the back of the history of the Netherlands and Dutch people, is that they have a trade mindset. They always think about trade. And at one point in time, the Netherlands was the richest country in the world, and we still, let's say, have this trade mindset. So one of my favorite verses in the Bible is the parable of the talents in Matthew, and that God says, okay, there's this, everybody has a certain amount that we need to steward, and how you do what you do with it determines on how God will reward that. Will he give you more? And in talents is, let's say, in that time was just a bag of money. So if I see what people did with the money in the parable, was one put it in the ground, one started doing business with it, and you see that doing business with it, putting it to use. And I think that for me that is valuable is because I think it's so important to always keep progressing, always keep moving, always keep growing, always making sure that things are moving forward. And I think that's something that's also part of my my culture. It's always more about doing instead of dreaming that you want to achieve something. It's more about doing it. And it's also, that also goes with money, is what are you doing with it? Are you putting it to work? Are you investing it in yourself, in your family, in your, in the stock market? Are you buying businesses? What are you doing with it? And I also see that God has that mindset. What are you doing? Are you growing? Are you growing in your relationships? Are you growing in your relationship with him? Are you growing your wealth? And are you becoming more generous? And it's always that question, how are you moving? And are you moving in line with the Spirit? Are you moving? I always say that I give 100% and God makes it 1,000%. Is that I do my best, mm-hmm. and that's what God asks from us, is that we do our best, but God makes it so much more than what we can do by ourselves. And that's also goes with investing, is that you do something, you plant a seed, and eventually it's something much bigger than you would imagine beforehand. So that's very, very good.
Oh, yeah. I love that seed analogy, because the New Testament says, wherever you sow, you shall reap. So if you sow spiritual, you'll reap spiritual. But if you sow carnality, or in short, like bad stuff, it'll come back to you. So do you have any, I guess, advice on essentially, like, everything doesn't go well, right? So if, like, restoration, like fixing loss, like you made a bad investment or you had some type of error, how do you recover naturally or as a believer? Any perspective on that?
Yeah, I think that the first step is that you need to be humble and say, okay, I made some mistakes, and that's part of life. I'm not going to punish myself for it. I want to learn from it. And more importantly, I get back on my feet. So, and getting back on your feet, I think that especially when it comes to investing, okay, you made a mistake, you lost some money. Don't hit yourself on the same rock twice, but okay, maybe there's a different way that I can invest, that I can grow wealth, and maybe a way that doesn't give me as much headache as it did before. So the first thing when it comes to investing, the easiest way to start investing is just invest in the stock market. It's let's say the easiest accessible thing is just buy something like an S&P 500 ETF that gives you a 500 of the biggest companies in the US that have a global nature already. And that if these companies grow, then you automatically participate in that. So it's a very, let's say, there's a low threshold. You participate, and if you look at the stock market, if you look at it from a historic perspective, let's say you can get a return about 8%, and that's already enough if you use it consistently over time to build a lot of wealth. So from a wealth perspective, you don't need to get much fancier than that. Just invest in the stock market. And the good thing about the stock market is that even if the stock market goes down, it's very difficult for all these companies to go bankrupt at the same time. Mm. So losing your money, losing everything, is almost impossible. It's something that we've never seen before. And so the only thing that you need to beware of is this: if the stock market goes down, then it's on sale. So you can buy more of it against a cheaper price. Because generally what we see is that if stock markets goes down, that it also goes up again. And we saw that with COVID, that the stock market went down 30%, and it took about 2 months to be back at a new high. So we also need to be mindful is that we should not be led by fear, but by hope and by opportunity, and see that the markets are driven by fear, and that many people panic, and many people start selling. The only thing that you need to do is continue to build wealth, because effectively what you do is by investing in the stock market, you bet on, let's say, also God's plans for this world. And I think that eventually Jesus comes back for a bride, and that's not only, let's say, the people, but it's everything. Mm-hmm. It's also the products and services and countries and everything God will inherit, Jesus will inherit eventually. So I think we also can have a more, let's say, optimistic view on the world. And of course there will be trials and tribulations along the way. But eventually Jesus will come back. And by being an owner of companies, you will also develop an ownership mindset. And that's about responsibility, about stewardship, about, okay, these companies that I invest in, how are they treating the world? And do I want to have a, an opinion about that? And one thing that I always, want to encourage people, there are also ways to, for instance, invest sustainably. And that means that you not invest in companies that have ethical challenges. Sort of saying, you can think about tobacco, adult entertainment, that stuff. That the investment industry already recognized that we don't want to invest in that. And they give that opportunity also to their investors. So there are also ways to, if you don't just want to buy everything that's out there, you don't want to buy, let's say, an ETF, you can also buy an ETF that's sustainable and that screens out these companies that you don't want to invest in from a, let's say, moral point of view. So there are many ways that you can incorporate your beliefs into your investing. And I also think that, especially if you start investing, you will also see more opportunities. And I personally try to keep my investments as simple as possible. Also because I think that the more complex you make it, the more time you need to spend on it. But the return you get on the time that you spend on it, it's not always as beneficial. So let's say you invest $10,000 and you get a 10% return if you invest passively in the stock market. The alternative is you do it actively. You are, let's say, as good as a legendary investor like Warren Buffett, and you get 20%. You might get $1,000 more. And that sounds a lot, but it's not a lot if you need to spend every week a few hours on it. That's because true. Then effectively it means that you get paid, let's say, a few bucks an hour, which is below the minimum wage. So it's not even, it should not be worth your time. So you need to think about this extra time that I put into it. Is it worth it? And I've come to the conclusion, especially if you're starting, it's better to keep it simple, make it scalable so that you can just grow it over time, that you don't lose your money, though that it's very almost impossible, especially if you do it in 500, if you invest in 500 companies and you give it the time. And your focus as an investor should not be trying to be smart and pick the best investments. That's of course what I do for a living. But as a let's say somebody who starts investing, it's more about can I build the discipline to continue investing. And when the market goes down and all your friends say, oh, I want to sell, inflation, the world is going to end, that you say, no, I'm going to continue and maybe even invest a bit more because things are on sale, that I continue to do that. And that you also have to focus that, okay, even if the world, if let's say Jesus comes back, he still comes back to a world of people with products and services, and that he will rule that world, and that it will, that you have, let's say, an optimistic view on what the future is.
I like the way that you outlined that, because it goes right in line with Colossians. It said that everything was scattered abroad because of the fall of man, right? But everything was gathered back together through the man Christ Jesus, being like the first begotten of like a new kind and new creation. So all the wisdom you've been giving has really been helping me, because I told you about my woes. But the knowledge that you're giving is on your YouTube channel, Money Principles. So could you give the audience like an overview of what to expect and also how to find you online?
Sure. Yeah, so everybody who has questions, you can reach to me on LinkedIn, but also on my YouTube channel, Money Principles. On my channel, my focus is to give timeless principles about money and investing. So not focusing on what's the best thing that you can do today, but more about what is the wisdom over the last generations that's been gathered about this subject, and teach them. And I try to keep it, let's say, in short videos of 5 minutes or less, keep it short and focused on a subject. As of January, I will be posting twice a week. So keep following that. There's also an e-course, a small e-course with 11 episodes, where I put some principles together that help you on your journey. I will teach about the four functions of money, but also about steps you can take with regards to investing, what different types of investments are there. Also give a bit of a framework about what's out there. But also about, for instance, considerations with your spending. So everybody knows you need to have a budget, but how do you do that? And maybe some simple tips and tricks that can help. And I'll also teach about living is giving, that it's all about how can you be a blessing to others, and also try to involve some science in there. There's many research about generosity. We call it the science of generosity. And that's all about, and that's founded by a Christian billionaire who already passed away. It was founded by a Christian billionaire, and he's such an example. And he had a phrase that the secret to wealth is gratitude. And I think that he, let's say, promotes research in this field, that you see that if you are generous, it has a positive effect on your relationships. It has a positive effect on your work environment. It has a positive effect for your finances, but also positive effect for your health. There are so many things that are in there that I teach about and that I can help people with. And hopefully I can help many more who start listening to my channel. And also encourage everybody to subscribe, of course, and like my videos to help the algorithm. But I think that that's expected, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're going to have all the information below with the e-course, how to subscribe, and also the money game in our description box below. And actually, I just want to thank you for your time. This has been a great wealth of knowledge and help.
Thank you, Winston, for having me. It's been a pleasure.